There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear is associated with punishment. We note that it's perfect love that casts out fear. Perfect love is love that is founded on the principles of God. Perfect love for God, I think, is deeply rooted in a lifetime of experience with His overrulings, with His providences. I think of Job's attitude. Job was such a faithful man and blessed of the Lord. And then tragedy befell him. He lost seemingly all that he had in this world. Lands, livestock, wealth, children, perhaps the love of his wife. Lost it all. And you remember what he said to his accusers, who were supposedly his comforters. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And I think there's the key to this perfect love that casts out fear. It's trust. We absolutely trust God. Thankful for Brother Rick reading the end of the book of Romans. Shall he not with his Son give us all things freely? If God be for us, who can be against us? Wow, that's a victorious statement. In the book of Hebrews, the apostle speaks of Jesus through the instrumentality of death, destroying the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and thus deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Fear has punishments. Romans 8:15. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And that affectionate sense in which we address God, Abba, Father, implies tremendous trust. Now I'm going to take you back with me to a summer's day, probably about 66 years ago. I was a much younger man 66 years ago. And our family went to kind of like an amusement park that had this fantastic pool. But I was always afraid of the water. I didn't want to go in it. I was happy to wade in the little wading pool, you know, and float my rubber ducky. But to jump in the pool itself, I couldn't do it. And so my dad took me beside the big pool, and he dove in, and he said, "Come to me." Interesting, you know, sometimes just a few little words or a small incident in one's life has an impact on another person that lasted so far for 66 years. I'm sure Dad didn't plan it that way. But he said, "Come to me." I said, I can't. "No, come on, I'm going to catch you." And I summoned up almost every bit of courage I had. There was still some doubt, there was still some fear, still some torment. And I jumped in the water, and Dad caught me. And I can remember standing here before you right now, all these years later, the elation I felt in putting my trust in Dad and the elation I felt in the freedom of overcoming that fear. First thing I did was run over to Mom and tell her I jumped in the pool. I was so pleased with myself. And isn't that the way the Christian life is? Jump in the pool. Trust. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. One of my favorite scriptures along this line of trust comes from the book of Matthew. And Jesus is instructing the disciples, and therefore you and me, about fear. I'll begin reading in verse 26, and we'll go through verse 33. That would be so helpful. Chapter 10. I hope you still remember that moment 66 years from now, right? So have no fear of them. That is, those who we rebuke with the light of truth. Have no fear of them. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim it on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna. And then he asks the question, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father's knowledge. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. And that's an important lesson to me as well. The idea that God is so indifferent to the precious value of life. And when I say that, the indifference in the world, men going to war, killing thousands of people the world over, indifferent to the suffering that they cause for their political interests. Well, there must be wars for a while longer. Life is priceless, and only God can give it. Remember that we are of more value than many sparrows, so much so that even the very hairs of our head are numbered. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So this trust, this eternal trust, don't even be afraid of those who can kill the body. That's as far as they can take it. And after that, they can do nothing else. But have great concern for how we respect and reflect the true giver of life, eternal. Trust is key. In the book of Matthew, we also have another example of trust and overcoming this fear that has torment. It's in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. And you know the story. Our Lord had been preaching to the masses, and immediately in verse 22, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And then the impetuousness of Peter once again manifest. Peter answered him, saying, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." What caused Peter to doubt? He was doing so well. He was walking on water. That should have been enough of a testimony to him that something miraculous was happening. But he began to look at the seriousness of the circumstances that he was in. He felt the wind and he saw the waves, and he doubted Jesus, and he doubted divine power on his behalf. Jesus, immediately reaching out his hand, taking hold of him, gives him that security, that reassurance of faith. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And we have marvelous experiences in our Christian lives. We do really, really well compared to what we would have been according to the flesh. The Lord's Spirit and truth have lifted us up, and we walk above the wind and the waves of this world. But sometimes we begin to doubt, and we should not feel or fear that we are not the Lord's because we have a doubt. But we should always reach out to the hand extended to us through our Lord to lift us up. As Paul notes in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, in his words of encouragement to Timothy, urging him to stir up the spirit, the gift that was in him, Paul notes, "God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And with that, in Hebrews 10:22, we are admonished to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That phrase, evil conscience, I think is the source of the punishments that we endure or that we may endure. Some modern translations say that we are sprinkled from a consciousness of evil. An afflicting, convicting consciousness of evil. But as we read in Romans, who will bring any charge to God's elect? It is God that has justified. And who can naysay that? Conscience is so important. 1 John 3:18 to 21, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Let us trust. Let us have full confidence in the great life giver. And let us remember the words of Jesus, 'Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.'"